My question is related to the problem of evil.
Yes.
And I don't want to get too much into detail, but my dad used religion in a lot of ways to torture me as a kid.
Right.
This included sleep deprivation for days at a time, repeatedly being strangled, hit, yelled at, so on and so forth. And after years of this led to one night my dad loads a gun, hands it to me, and tells me that, you know, God's telling him basically I need to shoot myself.
Good
after
Lord,
I'm dead,
Alex.
He's going to kill himself, and we're going to go fight the devil in hell. And from my perspective, the entire time I was praying for comfort or for the abuse to cease or calm down. And if there really was a God that cared about kids, how could he do nothing during all of that?
Wow. All right, Alex, thank you.
It's a great question. And first of all, Alex, there is no way we can, you know, give the reason why that happened to you. All we can say is that is not God's will. God does not will anybody to be tortured and humiliated and, you know, everything that you're describing for us right now. And so, you know, I would say I will certainly pray for you, because I'm sure that those scars go deeper than I can even comprehend. But understand, when you ask the question, though, why would God allow this? Well, this is a profound question, and I refer immediately. What comes to my mind is the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which, by the way, Alex, it's kind of a book the Church has. This is the basics of our Catholic faith explained. And in paragraph 1861, the Catechism makes this point, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on it. Mortal sin is the radical possibility that comes from the existence of free will, as is love itself. Now, isn't that something? What the Catechism is saying here is that, look, now I'm going to add to what the Catechism said, Alex. God could have created a world where there is no evil. He could stop all evil, not allow it at all. However, there are reasons why, and they are reasonable. Not that I can't explain every particular evil and know exactly why God allowed that particular evil. But in principle, we can see how that if God created a world, for example, where there is no evil, we were all robots, and all we could do is choose the good. Well, I don't know about you, Alex, but I wouldn't want to live in that world in this sense. We wouldn't be human. We would be something else. We would be less than what we are because, you know, in fact, I was just talking with one of our apologists about an hour ago, Trent Horn, about this very point. And I think of even the Blessed Mother herself, who never sinned. She was absolutely perfect, preserved free from the stain of original sin, never committed a sin at all. She would not be the person she is today if there had not been sin, right? Because, you know, as we as Catholics understand, at the foot of the cross, her soul was pierced by the sword, and she joined her sufferings with the sufferings of her son on the cross. And they together suffered for the sins of the entire world. She experienced not sin in her own life, but the results of that sin in the pummeling, the beating, the crucifixion of her only son. She watched from the foot of the cross. But that pain took her to a deeper level of humanity than she could have ever gotten to were it not for that sin. Now, are we saying, oh, sin's a good thing? No, it's not. It's evil. But what we're saying here, and I think what the Church is saying, is that it's freedom that allows for grave evils, which only human beings can create because of our lofty dignity, having this great gift of free will. You know, monkeys can't create an atomic bomb. They just can't do that. They don't have the dignity to be able to do the kind of evil that we can do. God allows that, however. In fact, he would not allow it if he was not going to bring a greater good out of it. God wouldn't allow it. And so, Alex, while I can't say exactly why God allowed what happened to you, I can say in general that God will bring a greater good out of what happened to you. He does. God does this. And the ultimate example of that is the death of his son, Jesus Christ, who is Almighty God, who experienced a greater evil than we can ever imagine. In fact, we're talking about deicide here. We killed God, and God allowed it only because it was through that death that it would bring about the transformation of the entire universe and the forgiveness of our sins. And so God allowed it for that deeper purpose. And we're talking about evil here, allowing evil only because there is a much greater. In fact, St. Paul talks about this, Alex, in Romans 8:18, where he says, the sufferings which we endure in this life are not even worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in heaven. And we get a sense of that in the life of Jesus and his resurrection and in the Blessed Mother, who is a human being who has now experienced a glory beyond anything we can fathom as well. And we know the same can happen for us if we love God and we continue to trust God in the midst of these trials that we go through. Now, the second point I wanted to make, because we're focusing on evil here real quick, and I want to get your thoughts, Alex, is that second part of what the Catechism says there in paragraph 1861, says it also makes possible, that is freedom, makes possible both mortal sin, which represents all the evils that we could speak of, but it also makes possible the reality we know as love. Because without freedom, a real freedom where you can really say no, and that's a real freedom. You know, I use the example, Alex, of my wife. Imagine 20 years ago on our wedding day, if I had a gun to her head and said, either you say I will, or I'm going to blow your brains out. Well, she may have said I will, but that wouldn't be love because it's not free. And she couldn't say no. I was forcing her. Well, because of this great gift of freedom, you also have this incredible thing that we call love that empowers us to ascend the heights. Yes, only human beings can descend to the depth of an Adolf Hitler, but only human beings can ascend to the heights of the Blessed Virgin Mary or of a Mother Teresa. A dog, a cat, a bird, and bat can't do that either. So, Alex, that's kind of a thumbnail. Could I get your thoughts?
To go back to kind of the choice thing, I understand the idea of suffering to an extent has to be allowed. Because if you don't allow sin, then do we really have free will? And we ought to be able to make the choice as to whether or not we're going to worship God and do whatever we want to do and deal with those consequences. That does make sense to me. But the problem that I run into is you look at, like, the number of, let's say, Catholic couples that are barren and can't have a kid and are praying and hoping for a miracle to have a kid. Why would it be better for God to not give, like, for instance, unless my soul is completely attached to this body, couldn't my soul have been put into another body with parents that would have actually loved me? And not to say that the life would have been perfect, but compared to living with PTSD and what I endured as a kid, probably would have been a lot better. And
okay,
then,
so it's like kind of two evils. You got the infertile parents that could have been his parents.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I think this betrays a false understanding of the nature of the human person. We don't have pre-existent souls that God can put into different bodies. We are, according to scripture and tradition, a body-soul composite. So it's impossible for your soul to be put into a different body, because it's the soul that forms the body, right? So, you know, no matter what material God was to use in creating your soul, that body would be your body. Okay, so the idea of your soul being placed into another body is absurd and impossible. God can't even do that, because that would be contrary to his own wisdom. See, God can't create, for example, he creates us with an immortal soul. A naturally immortal soul would be contrary to God's wisdom, and therefore contrary to his nature, because scripture tells us God is wisdom in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30. So if he contradicts his own wisdom, he's contradicting himself, and that's impossible. As 2 Timothy 2:13 says, God cannot deny himself. So when God creates us in a particular way, God binds himself in that sense, because it's his wisdom that chose to create us in such a way that in order for Tim Staples to exist, Roger Staples and Lola Staples had to get married, and they had conjugal relations, and I am their son. So there's not another possible scenario where I could be anywhere else. I either exist or I do not. All right. But I think you have a deeper question, though, and it gets back to what we've been talking about with the problem of evil, and that is, why wouldn't God make it? You know, let's say we're experiencing X amount of evil in our life. Why wouldn't God make it 50% less than that? Because, gee whiz, I would.
Yeah.
Right? I would say, I would make it 50% less than what you've experienced, right? You'd still be able to experience free will and even experience, but I say 50% less. Well, we simply cannot know, because think about, we're in a novel, right? We're in the middle of a novel here. God is writing the novel. We don't know what the end is. We don't know what God is working toward and why God has allowed this or that. We know reasonably that God can't. It's, as you said, and I appreciate you saying that, Alex, it's certainly reasonable for God to allow evils in order for greater goods to come from these particular evils. Now, because we're not God, we can't see the end of the novel, and we can't know how God is going to bring good out of this particular state where we have 100% of the evils that we've experienced, right? But the bottom line is, we have reason to trust, and I always get back to the person of Jesus Christ, because, of course, in crucifying the Son of God, we committed not just the greatest evil ever. That's the greatest evil possible. We killed God. God, Almighty God, became one of us to show us how much he loves us and to demonstrate all the things, Alex, that we're talking about. He demonstrated in his very life and being. He suffered more than all the sufferings of billions of souls. In fact, again, it's hard for us to fathom, but he suffered infinitely because he is an infinite person. He can do that. Right, he's a divine person with a human nature. So in the human nature of Christ, Jesus suffered infinitely. In fact, he experienced all the suffering that you experienced, Alex. He experienced it in that he saw. I know we're getting into some heavy theology here, but Pope Pius XII, in a wonderful document called Mystici Corporis, paragraph 75, says that even in the womb, Christ had the beatific vision. That is, he saw, he could see, he possessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in that comprehension of God, he knew the entire created order. He knew everything that was going to happen to us. And he experienced it so radically that he would say on the cross, my God, why hast thou abandoned me? Not that he had been abandoned, but that he was so closely configured to all of us that he could say in our place, my God, why hast thou forsaken me and taking all the sins and all the pains of all of us upon himself. And so what I'm saying, Alex, is we can look to that, to God himself, who has led the charge, so to speak. He has helped us to be able to see that when we trust him, we have resurrection coming. We have a glory, as I mentioned before, St. Paul talks about, beyond anything we can fathom, so exalted that, you know, the sufferings of this age are not even worthy to be compared with the glory that is yet to be revealed.